I had an opportunity to, thank you, to be a pastor up in Connecticut, and one of my jobs up there was 100% revitalization. What that means is the church was going through a hard time. They were wanting to bring someone in to help them and transition through a couple things, and this church was struggling a little bit. They had all the right pieces, but they just wasn't putting them together. They also had land that they already purchased. They had $200,000 in the bank, and they wanted to kind of move into this new building that they haven't built yet. So I come along, and we do some things, and the big two tasks was unity, and the other thing to get in. And 2 years later, we actually raised like $1.5 million, got into the building. It was incredible. But the problem is it was a very wooded area, and if anyone knows about building anything in wooded areas, there's a lot of challenges, but one of the challenges that we had is we had mice. Luckily, we had someone in the church who was like an expert, and he came out, he did his thing. I mean, there was thousands of mice that died up there, but he did say, every once in a while, you might get a visitor, and so lo and behold, we were at a prayer meeting, and the kids were around, and the families were around, and I pointed out, there's a mouse over there. The kids just erupted. They were so excited. They wanted to find this mouse and play with this mouse and all the other stuff, and then at the same time, so there's a big commotion. At the same time, a lady comes in. She's about 5 foot five, 115 pounds, like soaking wet, right? She comes in, and she asks, what's going on? And I said, well, the kids are trying to catch this mouse, and she just stops and freezes, and she is, you could just see, she's starting to turn pale, and I was just like, are you okay? She's like, I am deathly afraid of mice, and I said, well, unfortunately, if you look down, the mouse is on your foot. There was a TV show that I watched when I was a kid called Mighty Mouse. This mouse flew. She kicked this mouse, and she just screamed, and it was just it was hilarious. Some of the men screamed. That would make it even better. This mouse flew. The kids saw it land, and they actually caught the mouse. They began to play with the mouse. I was just like, that scene is so funny to me on so many levels. You have this lady, she wasn't a huge lady. She was very, very skinny. She was like 50 times the size of this mouse, and she could have sent that mouse to heaven real quick with just like one stomp. But instead, she screamed to the point that everyone's just like, oh my goodness, this lady's going to pass out and die. These other kids, they were just playing. And that is a picture of two people that can look at the same situation but respond totally different. And this is going to be an important idea as we start this new series in this letter called Jonah. And the series is simply called Jonah and the City. Now, Jonah is probably one of the most famous stories in all of the Bible. And skeptics would say, wait, hold on a second. You believe that a guy was swallowed up by a fish and then one day was puked up on the beach? And I'm like, yeah, I do. Yeah, there are reports and have been reports of whale sharks swallowing people, and they actually find that person or persons are still alive. And secondly, if you are a Christ follower, Jonah is the least of your problems. Because we believe that there's a creator God who created all things out of nothing, sent his son to live this perfect life, die for the sins of the world, your sins and my sins, and better yet, that after he dies, he rose from the dead after 3 days, defeats death, and offers forgiveness for all. We believe that, right? And Jonah, if you believe that, Jonah isn't much of a stretch. There are actually 10 miracles in the letter of Jonah, all geared to getting Jonah's attention. Because Jonah is about to learn a very important lesson that I think all of us have learned or need to learn. You and I can run from God, but we can't outrun God. The entire story is about a man who loved God, but when he found out that God wanted him to do something, he ran. Everyone in this room at some point, either the past or maybe right now, maybe have ran away from God. Maybe you're still running. Maybe you know exactly what God wants you to do, but you're thinking to yourself, no way, I'm not doing this, so you decide to run. Maybe there is something that is pretty good, and you're like, God, this is really good, this is godly, I want to do this. And God's like, that's pretty good, but I don't want you to do that, I want you to do this, so you decide to run. If that is you, you are in good company. We all have had the opportunity, and maybe we have fulfilled the opportunity to run. And when we run, maybe we think that when we run, or if we run, that God would enact some kind of revenge on us, like, I'm going to get you. But instead, God's attitude is more like, I want to bring you back. I have a journal. I like to journal, and I have a journal just listing all the times I've ran from God. And instead of focusing on that, I want to explore, like, why we run. Because if we can discover why we run, maybe we can figure out, like, when a running opportunity comes next time that we decide not to run. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to look at Jonah. Jonah's in the Old Testament. We will have it on your screen. We're going to be in Jonah chapter 1. I want to encourage you to, throughout this week, throughout this month, really, start reading the book of Jonah. Maybe dive in, chew on it. It's an awesome book. It's an incredible book. It's about this guy who decides to run. And we all have had those moments when do I run? Do I do what I normally do and run? Or do I simply say yes to God? So Jonah chapter 1, here it is. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai. Now, scholars believe that Jonah, at this time, he's probably in his 20s, and he's a prophet. Now, a prophet back then was a messenger of God. I know sometimes we think of prophet, and we're like, oh, they can tell the future. No, no, no. Most of the prophets back then, they were mouthpieces of God. They would go into a community, typically a Jewish community, and just speak truth, saying, hey, if you don't do X, Y, and Z, God's going to kind of bring down some consequences on you. So, or, hey, stop doing this or stop doing that. That's what the prophets mainly did. And most of the time, they did this amongst the Jewish people and in their towns, in their cities. Like, hey, God's giving you a warning that judgment is coming if you don't start to change. And on the other thing about Jonah is like, I don't know how to say this. Jonah wasn't like a top-tier prophet. Like, you have like the A team, the B team. Jonah was like the D team, you know? Like Jonah, he had other guys, he had other friends who were prophets like Nahum and Amos and Hosea. They were all given opportunities to actually preach against Assyria, where these Assyrians, where they were actually enemies of the Jewish people. They would go in and talk about, hey, if you stop doing this, guess what? You're going to be able to have victory over these people. And so finally, Jonah gets his big assignment. Here it is, verse 2. He says, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come before me. And Jonah's like, whoa, 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 what TV talking about? Wait, thank you for the assignment, but you want me to go where? You want me to go to Nineveh? God, I'm not sure if you're aware of this. Like, Nineveh is the capital city of the Assyrians, the same people that is constantly warring against your people, my people, against the Jewish people. And also, this city is also known as a city of bloodshed. Hear me out, God. This is what the Assyrians do. When they conquer another city, they will kill everyone in that city and then stack their skulls into the city entrance. Seriously, God, you want me to go and talk to them? They are brutal, brutal people. And Jonah, he isn't wrong. Jonah was likely rooting for God to wipe these people out. But God has a calling for Jonah that is something different, to preach God's grace and how it's available to everyone. If they don't listen, yeah, then I will bring judgment. But Jonah, I'm giving you this a great opportunity. Verse 3, but Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed to Tarshish. Nineveh is about 550 miles east of Israel. Tarshish is most likely Spain. It is about 2,000 miles west of Israel. So it says in verse 3, but Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. The reasons we run from God, one of the reasons, number one, is we're afraid of God's call. Oftentimes, when we run away from God, we're actually afraid of God's call. What God wants to do in the Assyria is amazing. And Jonah, you could be a huge part in this. And Jonah, I want you to trust me, trust my goodness, and not just fear the cruelty of man. And this is a challenge that I think all of us face. It's almost like this tug of war that we are facing, and we're pulling back and forth, and we think we're tugging a war against God, right? But actually, that tug of war is actually us tugging, like, trusting God or us trusting ourselves. And many of us, sometimes when God comes knocking on our door, we have a good excuse. Like, I'm tired, or I'm busy, or I got a headache, or God, I'm not qualified enough. God, I'm not old enough. God, I'm not educated enough. Some of you are going to figure that out. God, I don't know the Bible. I haven't memorized scripture yet. God, I know there are 66 books in the Bible, but I don't even know them in order. God, you can't use someone like me. And God's like, and we like, you know, I'm a screw up, and I've messed up, and I've got wounds, I've got issues, and God's like, I know you're a screw up, I know you're messed up, but I can use you anyway. In fact, turn to your neighbor and say, you know what, I'm a screw up. Go ahead, turn to your neighbor and say, I'm a screw up. Some of y'all are a little bit too excited doing that. Like, yeah, and you just, the other person just said, yep. So we're all in the same place. God specializes in screw-ups. It's throughout the Bible. God says, well, whatever excuse you have, whatever it is, man, I'm bigger than that. And oftentimes, we come up with these excuses, and we spend more time on the road of Tarshish instead of waiting for God. There's a girl that is dating a guy who isn't a Christ follower, and she thinks the road of Tarshish is going to be better than waiting on God on the road of Nineveh. Let me tell you something. It don't usually work out. Hear me on this. Every girl thinks that, hey, I'm the exception to the rule. I'll get him to start loving the Lord. And guess what? Hey, hold on a second. Hear me on this. And this is a freebie, by the way. If he's not heading in the same direction as you, hear me on this. And this is a bonus for the day. He might tolerate your faith for a while, but that's not what you want. This is what you actually want. You want someone, and this is a freebie, by the way. I'm just going to give it to you. You actually want someone who loves the Lord more than you. So I'll say that, yeah, because only half the room clapped. This is what you want. You want someone who loves the Lord more than you. And this is more than just a non-Christian Christian thing, because there's some Christians that they say they love the Lord. No, you want someone to love the Lord. I mean, I am so lucky that Terry loves the Lord more than me. I'm so thankful, because there's so much of forgiveness that I need. But oftentimes, we think we're on this road, and even I talk to fellas or just business people, and they like, you know what, this road of Tarshish in my career seems much better than the kind of waiting or the Lord. And many times, we're on this road, and we're afraid of God's call, we're afraid of FOMO, fear of missing out. You guys still using that, fear of missing out? Verse 4, then the Lord sent a great wind of the sea, miracle number one, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. These are professionals. These are experts of the sea. They said, we haven't seen anything like this. It was hopeless. And they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah, this is so funny, but Jonah goes down below where he lay down and fell to sleep. He's like, I'm going to bed. Because I know exactly what's going on. See ya. I don't know how y'all going to survive, but I'm going to bed. He knows. Verse 6, the captain went to him and said, how can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us so that we will not perish. They are desperate. Verse 7, then the sailors said to each other, let's cast some lots to find out who's responsible for this calamity. They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Miracle number 2. So they asked him, tell us who is responsible for making all this trouble for us. What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? Who's your people? I mean, what country are you at? Verse 9, he answered. This is so funny. He has the nerve. I'm a Hebrew and I love the Lord. I worship the God. The God of heaven who made the sea and dry land. That's funny to me. Point number 2, the reason we say no to God or sometimes we run to God is because we believe that God won't chase after us. Jonah is thinking what we think sometimes, that if we decide to go our own way, that God won't chase after us to bring us back. We think that God is going to kind of let us do whatever we want to do. I mean, he does call himself a loving father, and a loving father would never let go of his children without chasing after us. When I was a kid, there was another TV show. We watched these sitcoms, you know, sitcoms like The Jeffersons and What's Happening. Half of y'all don't even know what those shows are about, but anyway, we would watch those shows. I would watch Punky Brewster. I would watch Silver Spoons, and one of my favorite shows was Different Strokes. Yeah, now some of y'all remember that, and the main character was Arnold. It was the first time I met anyone who was black that was named Arnold, but that's a different story. But anyway, there was an episode where Arnold decides to run away from home. And I'm watching this, and I'm like, you know what? He's right. These parents get on my nerves. And my mom did something, and I said, you know what? I'm going to run away. And so I packed up my stuff. It wasn't a lot, because I mean, it was like some toys, and I think I brought some underwear. My mom always said, oh, never go in underwear. So I brought some underwear and some pajamas, and that was about it. And I began to walk out of our house, and I began to stomp so my mom could hear me. I'm leaving. I'm running away. My mom said, bye. It was like, it was bye, Felicia, before bye, Felicia. She said, bye. See you later. I said, well, I'm leaving. And I'm like, she ain't chasing. Do I get to the door? And I'm like, I'm going for real. She said, see ya. I opened the door and I slammed the door. I walked down the block. I said, I don't know where I'm going. I just said, come back. And my mom didn't even bother. I would think that she would be at the window. She's still in the kitchen doing her thing. Now, when my dad came home and told her that I ran away, that was a different story. It was a different time. If I really believed that God was a loving father who was never going to let me go, I wouldn't run. Because any plan that I came up with or half thought of is no way near being close to God's plan. Jonah boards the ship and God sends a great wind to cause this massive storm. Hear me on this. Jonah didn't believe that God was good. Jonah didn't believe that God's plan was good. And here's how I figured this out. Here's how God works a little bit. He's not going to allow us to run away very easily. We think that it's God punishing us. It's not God punishing us. It's not God like, I'm going to get you. Rather, I'm going to get you. He doesn't let us run away that quick. And so sometimes we are in this world. We say, God, I just want to have control of my life. And God's like, okay, if you want control of your life, go ahead, take the steering wheel. And we take the steering wheel, and immediately we start driving. We drive right into a ditch. And then the first thing we say, God, why did you allow me to drive in the ditch? God's like, you wanted control? I gave you control. I just want to see how you were going to do. And so there might be some trials, there might be some tribulations, but make no mistake that God's like, man, I don't want you to run away from me. And there are many times that people can tell over and over and over again, I ran away from God. It wasn't good. It wasn't. I thought it was good. I was doing my own thing, but then I found myself in a deeper and deeper and deeper place. And then I found myself coming back like, God, I need you. I desperately need you. We've all been there. I've been there. The storm isn't God's fault. The storm came so Jonah would wake up. Your parents, we bring storms in our kids' lives. What I mean is sometimes we tell our kids and say, okay, since you did this, I'm going to take away TV privileges, or I'm going to take away the keys for a period of time, or I'm going to ground you, or probably the worst thing, at I'm going to take that phone away from you. Talk about a storm. God disciplines us in the same way. It's all based out of love. Deuteronomy 8 says this. Think about it. Just as parents disciplines a child, the Lord your God disciplines you for your own good. So obey the commands of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and fearing him. This is what God is doing. The storm came to coach and lead Jonah where he needed to be. Hear me on this. I don't know where you're at. I don't know if you think you're not qualified enough. I don't know if you think you're not old enough. But hear me on this. God has a plan for you. He has a place for you. And he wants to use you even though you're a mess up. Even though you screw up over and over and over again, he wants to use you. He has a place for you. But it starts with obeying him. That's hard. It starts with us obeying him. And there's a lot of times where God says, I want you to do something little. I just want to see if you could just do this. And then I want to see if you could do this. And he adds on to it, and he adds on to it, and he says, see, told you. I want to use you in incredible ways, bigger than ever you thought. Verse 10. This terrified them, and they asked, what have you done? They knew he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them so. Verse 11, the sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, what should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us? Like, there's a whole bunch of options. Maybe I should say, God, I'm sorry. All right, take me back. You know, I want to apologize. I repent, God. No. This is what he says. Verse 12, this is crazy to me. Pick me up and throw me into the sea. And it will become calm. I know that is my... Have you ever been there where you know it's you? I know that is my fault that the great storm has come upon you. I know. Instead, the men did their best to row back to the land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord. Lord, this is amazing. They cried out to the Lord, the God. Please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man. For you, Lord, have done as you please. They're worshiping God. That's crazy to me. Verse 15. Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. Miracle number 3. Ding. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord. And they offer a sacrifice to this Lord and make vows to him. We're not even sure who this is, but this guy is powerful. Verse 17, now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah. Miracle number 4, ding. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Miracle number 5, ding. Thirdly, we run from God because we believe, and this is going to be hard, we believe we don't need God. I mean, if we're getting the truth, God, I need you, but I don't really need you. Jonah didn't ask God to forgive him or take him to Nineveh. Instead, he tells the men, he says, you know what, throw me over, but I would rather die than do what God asked me to do. I would rather die than go to Nineveh. We run from God because we believe we can do life on our own better. We believe it. And we say we worship God, but you can't really worship God without obeying God. But we try, don't we? Hear me on this. Everything that was created for a purpose. And the one who knows our purpose is the Creator God. He knows everything about us. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our strength. He knows exactly how to use us. He knows how to put us in a place. Many people that have found out that, oh, my friends found that I'm a pastor or a preacher, they go, really? I go, I know, it's funny. Like, really? Jermaine, really? Like, yeah, this is how God does things. He's wild like that. Our Father knows us, and when we follow him, when we start obeying him, taking one step at a time, God said, man, I got some great things for you. I got some great things for you. Now, unfortunately, we tend to take the path where it's unnecessary pain. Several years ago, I had an ingrown toenail. Disgusting, I know. No one needs to hear my issues. But I had an ingrown toenail. It hurt when I walked. It hurt when I put my shoes on. It hurt when I even looked at a sock. It hurt. And instead of going to the doctor, just like most fellas in here, maybe almost everybody in here, I tried to fix it myself. I found a razor blade and I found some needle nose pliers. And I began to dig, man. I was in pain. Anybody else do that? Or is that just me? Liars. I was in pain. I finally went to the doctor, hobbling, couldn't walk. Finally went to the doctor. He said, oh, you're doing some bathroom surgery. Yep. He goes, don't worry about it. Everybody does it. Everybody does. I was like, really? He goes, the problem is it's 2 times worse and you still didn't fix the problem. A lot of us, we try to do self-surgery on our soul. We try. And God's like, what are you doing? We try. And when we're running away from God, we think we have the best solution. God's like, man, this is not going to work out good. This is not. My story, I've told many of you my story before, and Sean, you can come up. You know, I went to church as a kid, sometimes 3 times a week. It was rough. Twice on Sunday, once on Wednesday for prayer. I'm like, that we're old school. And I decided to, like, you know what, once I get to college, I'm going to do my own thing, and that's exactly what I did. It was all about me playing sports and soccer and doing what I wanted to do. I was in a relationship with a girl. I thought she was going to be the one, and she ended up not being the one. And I had all these plans. I had a lot of success, and I had all these plans. And then I began to have a problem with alcohol. A lot of times we look at these professional athletes, and we say, man, they don't have any problems. We got a lot of problems. We just hide them. We hide them well. And along my path, I began to hurt so many people. And that's the crazy thing about this. When we are running from God, we think we're just thinking, hey, this is me. If I do hurt anybody, it's just me I'm hurting. No. You're hurting other people. You just care about yourself a little bit more. Just being real. And I found myself hurting a lot of people and hurting people and people I didn't even think I was hurting, and definitely hurting my parents and definitely hurting my friends and hurting all the future relationships I had, because that baggage stays with you until you deal with it, and it just became a weight and a weight and a weight, and then I had a problem, and I had to start meeting with people and meeting with a therapist. And nothing wrong with a therapist. I still meet with a therapist, not about alcohol, but other things. And I start realizing, like, why am I doing the things that I do? And thankfully, I had a Christian or a Christ follower as therapist, and he just finally said to me, you got to stop running. He said, who are you running from? And I'm like, oh, I'm running from myself. I'm running from my past. I'm running from my relationship with mom and dad. He goes, no. Who are you really running from? I'm running from God. Hear me on this, folks. Stop running. Stop running. All you're going to do is get tired, and you're going to come back to God. If you think about running, stop running. Don't even attempt to run. Here's my solution to you. Just simply yes, say yes to the Lord. Skip all the pain. Skip all the frustration. Get into a practice mode of just saying yes to the Lord. But Jermaine, what if? Don't worry about it. What if? God knows you're a screw up. You already admitted it today. God knows you're not good enough. You're not smart enough. You're not equipped. But God, if you read the Bible, God is an expert in screw-ups and people who are not qualified. He does it over and over and over and over and over again. Just read the Bible. You think you're too old. Look at Joshua. You think you're too young. Look at Timothy. If you think you're too young, that Jesus used disciples, many of them under the age of 18, to change the world. He can use you. All you got to do is say yes. I don't have a plan. I need a strategy. God's figured that all out. You just got to say yes. Get into the practice mode of saying yes. And here's the thing. because I know we're arrogant like this, we're prideful like this. We just want to say yes to the big things. Start saying yes to the little things. Little things. I'm not going to try to guilt anybody, but this is why I love coming in here, not on Sundays, but during the week and talking to some teachers and talking to the principal and just hearing their hearts. And she's shocked that we as a church have a heart for the school, for these people we don't know, for these families we don't know. And I just simply say that that's what the Bible tells us. Have a heart for people, all people, whether they agree or disagree. So would you practice saying yes to the Lord, whatever it may be, whether it's sharing the gospel, whether it's inviting someone, young or old, whether it's serving somewhere, would you get into the mode of, I'm going to say yes to you, Lord. I'm going to say yes to you. Would you pray? Heavenly Father, Lord God, I thank you. I thank you for the story of Jonah. Oftentimes we get fixated and focus on the fish. But you're bigger than that. For you, Lord God, that's easy. Lord God, I know what is not easy for you. What's not easy is giving us free will. I wonder if you sit up there and you wonder, man, I wish I could just shake them and kind of like force them to do this. But your love is so big that you give us free will, free choice. You simply say, I want you to choose me. I want you, I've died on the cross for your sins. I rose from the dead. I offer forgiveness and I keep offering forgiveness. I bless and I bless and I bless. And I wonder, you sit up there and you say, man, I just wish they would choose me. If it was me, Lord God, I'd get frustrated. Maybe even angry. Even I may even want to like send some fire and whatever, Lord God, to get people's attention. And you're just patient, like I'm here. Whenever you're ready to come home, I'm not gonna just be waiting here. I'm gonna run towards you. Maybe there's people in this room right now that are running. I pray, Lord God, that you would speak to their hearts, Holy Spirit. Just tell them to stop. Stop right where you're at. Stop. And when they stop, maybe they look up. Maybe they turn around and they just see you. And you don't have this face of disappointment. You don't have this face of anger. You don't have this face as I was about to take you out. You just have the smile on your face and you just say, come on home. Come on home. So I pray, Lord God, that we would get in the habit of saying yes to you and put everything else to the side because nothing else matters. We thank you, Lord Jesus, in your precious name. Amen.